Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The following is a presentation of the Tragically Hip podcast series.
Thank you. Hey, it's JD here, and I just want to welcome everybody that has come out tonight to an evening for Sarah J. I'm delighted that we're all together tonight as a community, as a family, and we're here to do some good tonight. So this is a good thing. I want to thank everybody for coming out. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show and supporting the podcast and definitely for supporting this event tonight. About a year and a half ago, I met Sarah J. And she landed in my world like a whirling dervish. She was organized. She was a lot of the things that I'm not when it comes to the work that we do. She's much more organized than I am. She's very insightful. And she is definitely an optimist that can fight. And so earlier on this year, or late last year, when that bitch, cancer, came knocking on her door, it really affected me. And I thought, this is something that we can rally around and get the community together for. And I got to tell you, we started a GoFundMe about a month ago with a $5,000 goal, and sitting here tonight, right now, we're at $4,600. So, giant round of applause. So, everything we raise tonight is going to go to that goal, and we're going to get to $5,000. I'm sure of it. Now, Sarah's battle with cancer is something that I've admired, because as I mentioned, she's an optimistic and she's a fighter. And so she has went through this with courage and grace too. And I appreciate that about her. And I appreciate her hipness and the sense of community that she brings. And we're really here to celebrate that tonight. So I thank you very much. Now, while we're talking about community and family, we've got somebody from the community who is an actual family member here joining us tonight. And I really appreciate the time that he's committed to this. And it means a great deal to me that he was able to show up here. So give him a real warm welcome. It's Patrick Downey. There'd be so many cameras.
I can't see them from all the lights.
I know. That's, we have to look in each other's eyes now.
Yes. Deeply.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. Thanks for everyone coming out, for Sarah. I'm happy to be here.
We're really happy you're here. And I got to tell you, you know, the sense of community, the sense of family surrounding the hip and the things that you do is overwhelming to me as an outsider. What is it like for you as a family member, as a family member? Like,
specifically to what? Like
this community that
The hip people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess it's a community that I'm getting more and more exposed to over time, and being a little bit closer to the organization and the running of the organization. And you know, in years past and stuff, you know, you you kind of had to go to shows and things like that to see, to experience the community. To really, you know, now with everything, the evolution of the internet and social media and stuff like that, like, you actually get to see, you know, how large it is, the impact that, you know, the music has had and the band. And so, yeah, it's a tad overwhelming at times, but at the same time, when you get to events like tonight, and when it's just about community helping community, helping people,
yeah.
And you know, that's really what, you know, at the core of the Hip, and you know, their legacy and stuff. It you know, underneath all of it is just you know, having an impact on people's lives. And if it's people in need or people that need support or a hand up, you know, those guys have always done that. And it's something that, you know, now with you know, shepherding Gord's legacy and stuff, it's something that you know, I like to do. It's good for my heart, but it's just continuing on a legacy that is what it's all about. You know what I mean? If, you know, music is great medicine, and look what it breeds. You know, so
yeah, music is great medicine. It's interesting. I want to dig a little deeper into the idea of curating the legacy. This is a big deal.
I'm sure there's some people think that they can do it better. No.
As we mentioned, right? Like, there's a vast majority of people that are like waiting on every bit of news or every bit of information that they can get about your brother and about the band. And, you know, Gord's legacy work through Downey Wenjack and your work shepherding that and curating that, is the weight of that, well, does it transcend the privilege of it, I suppose?
Well, it's not just me, you know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, somebody has to sort of take the lead to be the sort of, you know, to be the person that sort of organizes it. But it is a shared duty, you know. And in many, like, I mean, I have to say, like, you know, like, it's not a weight. Of course it's a weight. It's a responsibility. You know, I didn't necessarily, I can't really think about, like, you know, that when you're doing it, you know. Just, I think, really, you just keep the sort of core principles of, like, trying to do what's best and always coming from a good place and having a good intention, you know. It's a lot of Gord stuff, really, you draw upon, you know, and you do the best with what you can, and you know, that's all you can do. I mean, it's a funny thing, like legacies and stuff like that, you know, they sort of take care of themselves in a certain sense. And I think I said this to you before, that, you know, Gord was actually quite worried about his legacy, which is kind of laughable in a certain sense, like, you're, you know.
Wow.
But I think that's what kind of drove him and kept him honest and on purpose, you know. And
a North Star, yeah, sort of.
Say what?
A North Star, sort of.
Yeah. So he's an easy, you know, he is a North Star. And so if you keep it at its core, it's, you know, it's just trying to embody his spirit and his generosity, his philanthropy and, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you do a good job, and there's a whole lot of people here tonight that really appreciate what you do and what you have done. And on behalf of the community, thank you. Thank you. It's fucking dynamite.
Well, it is. It's an honor and a privilege and a labor of love. So, you know, it's Gordon and I were very close our whole lives. And to a certain degree, I grew up in a large family. I'm the youngest of five, and Gord was the next youngest. And he was kind of in charge of me for like a good part of my life, for better or for worse, believe me. But, you know, he took care of me. He really did, almost my whole life. And then I had to take care of him. And now, you know, I'm taking care of him. You know, that's what I'm doing.
I love that. Oh, man. Yeah, that's heavy. So let's lighten it up a little bit here for a moment.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, but I just want to, you know, I want to fluctuate a little bit. I want to know, are the Bruins going to get past the first round?
Oh, my God. Well, I had a pretty good spaz out when Tampa Bay scored late in the game this afternoon. Bruins just needed one more win to get in the playoffs, and, of course, they booted it away. And, hockey. Bruins aren't a popular topic.
Well, I mean, nobody's rooting for the Leafs this year.
Well, there's nothing to root for.
I mean, there's some Buffalo people here tonight, so the Sabres are probably getting a lot of love.
Honestly, Buffalo represent. How about that?
I'm actually sort of pumped for the Sabres because they've sucked for a long time.
Who is not? And, like, it's just better. It's better for hockey when Buffalo is, like, here. Seriously, I mean that. And, like, everyone says that about, like, Montreal or, you know, Buffalo's, like, maybe the best hockey town in next to Boston in the United States.
In the U.S., really? Yeah. Wow.
Well, they like their hockey, man. Yeah, they get a lot of winter up in Western New York, and you know, there isn't much else. Same here. We relate. I've saying this to every Buffalo person I meet, that I have like a real weird soft spot for Buffalo. I actually think Canada should adopt Buffalo. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I bet there's
Canada,
some...
like we should send some like covert underground subversive spies into Buffalo to like
some radicals
start the secession. That's not Canadian bacon premise, I promise you.
It's no. No. But you heard it here first. It's going to happen. Buffalo will be adopted.
If it weren't for Buffalo, I think there would be half the room would be empty.
This is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all from Sarah J., who's from Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's really great what you're doing, JD. Like, I love this kind of cross-border, binational, you know, look at that. Look what the hip is doing.
I'm trying to bring two worlds together.
You know?
It's a tough time. And
bands without borders.
That's right. That's right. All right. So what else can we talk about? I want to know, I played off the top, Are We Family? Is that song a song that you listen to differently now? Or is it a song that you even go to? Because it's on a record that, you know, wasn't beloved, even though it's my favorite right now, In Between Evolution.
Mm. No, I don't think I mean, I think there's some kind of, like, there's some sort of prophetic aspect of Gord's lyrics that seems so maybe strangely foreshadowing now that, like, whatever has happened. But I just think that's kind of the magic of his lyrics and his poetry that, you know, the song can mean many things, and it also can mean many things over time. It sort of evolves. And, you know, the significance of, like, you know, are we family? I mean, I think I probably still apply what was my first impression of, and it's all just my own interpretation. I never really got into it with Gord about, you know, different meanings and stuff behind his songs. But I always had my own, and that was fine by me. But I think I've usually pretty much stick to, you know, what I've always kind of felt or thought of that song at the time. I mean, I think the stuff that we've released, say especially of Gord's solo career, this sort of posthumous stuff, it's kind of interesting. Like, you do hear it a little differently, I think, maybe, and it digs a little deeper. But yeah, no, I mean, I think like Gord had a love of, like, sort of family. I mean, it's sort of, he, there's sort of many themes in Gord's songs that deal with family, and there's, like, references to my family or things you heard growing up and my mother's. It all has a lot of family weaving through it, you know, and in a certain sense. And that's maybe part of the magic of his words, that it creates a real, it sort of captures the imagination. And I think there's a family at the sort of core of it. You take, like, 38 years old, like, that song is kind of it's my family. I mean, most people thought I had a brother in prison growing up my whole life, but that, I had to, yeah, anyway. But, like, the clock on the wall and the pattern, like, all that stuff is, like, that was our house, that was our thing, you know. Family Band.
You can visualize it.
That great punk song, Family Band, like, Gord always dreamed of having a family band, like a, you know, the kids, everybody, like, that was his sort of, like, wow, what a, you know, that's the real deal. That's why he was so attracted to, you know, being in the Sadies and things, the guys that are, like, you know, grew up in families of music and performed as families and stuff. Like, that was a big thing for him.
Let's talk a little bit about that new Sadies record that just came out in February. 8 tracks from across different tour spots, yeah. Tour yep. Stops, played with the Sadies and the I mean, it's so strange. I got to ask you. It's Gord Downie and the Sadies and the Conquering Sun. And I thought the first record was called In the Conquering Sun. But then when Live at 6 O'Clock came out, it's Gord Downie and the Sadies and
The Conquering Sun. So that was the name of the band. And it's just it was, Gord insisted that it not just be this sort of side project, that it be named like a proper band. And, you know, it was one of those things, if it was like Gord Downie and the Sadies, like, you know, somebody's going to get left off the marquee at some point. So it was just a real sticking point for Gord that it be a band and it be named like a band, not to a solo and a side project type thing. So that was... He was so insistent on that we had to keep it.
That's a cool little peek.
Yeah. And then, like, a big part of that tour where they caught a lot of the songs from, 2014, which is the, you know, I guess about a year or so before Gord got sick. He's in really good shape. And, like, 50-year-old, like, you've seen the videos and stuff. I mean, he's, okay. Like, really going hard. They had a... They had a thing on stage that he had sort of dreamt up, this, like, I don't know if you saw any of the shows, but this, like, thing that was like this light that he would have on this swiveling, it was like this massive stage piece. And it was just burned hot red, like you couldn't, it was like these things, like nothing. Like it just, you couldn't see the band at all. It was just this hot sun that he would just scan the audience with. And that was the kind of the part of the conquering sun theme, which I kind of love, because it's like Gord Downie, the Sadies, and the conquering sun, which is, you know, it's always there, the conquering sun.
That's absolutely true, except for on the dark side of the moon.
That's right.
Don't get me started on that shit,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, we talked about that.
How have we never seen it, right?
Huh?
How have we never seen it?
Yeah, no, I've we're derailing here, but yeah, no, I thought the same.
Yeah, no. No, I want to know what it's like, because when we got access to that Sadies record, the Gord Downie and Sadies and Conquering Sun Live at 6 o'clock, and we did our episode of Discovering Downie on it, we were blown away. But I got to ask you, Patrick, what is it like having the combination to the vault of all this stuff that we haven't heard? Pressure?
It's, I mean, I feel like a lot of people here, a lot of the sort of like super hip fans and stuff, like, would, I mean, I appreciate it, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's kind of back to that, it is overwhelming at times, and it is like, like, for that particular, I think for a lot of Gord's stuff, it's easier for me to sort of like separate and dive in, and like there is a lot of stuff to manage, both on the hip side and his side, and I think there's, the hip's catalog is so dense, and the amount of archival material is so dense that like having to listen to every track from a certain, you know, to compose the tracks that are going to go on the box, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, we can swear?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's fucking daunting, you know what I mean? And you're not always in the mood, trust me, you know? But it's like a job, and it's like hours of listening to stuff that you're like, you know, you just, whatever, you get, it's, I think you all would probably do this, but it's like, yeah, I have to, like, I do have to force myself. And the guys in the band are kind of the same thing. It's just like, you know, sometimes it's not always great. You
fair.
Know, it's like,
that's fair.
And sometimes it's like, you know, say like for the last tour, for instance, like your memory of it, you know, as Gord would say, you know, the memory is very sly. It's there to serve its host. And like your memory of it is like, you know, it's perfect.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I mean, unless you're a total asshole, but like I, you know, and then, but having to go back and listen to it, you know, you're like, oh shit, this is shitty, you know, but it could, you know, like not like, and Gord's a wild card. He doesn't necessarily translate, you know, in like the Sadies thing, man, when you see the video of him performing, you kind of understand,
yes,
what you're hearing,
yes,
in the audio. So you have to kind of marry the energy. And but anyway, like you, sometimes it's nice just to sort of leave things as, yeah, they were in your memory. Like, and I think we do a good job of kind of discarding all that and getting the good stuff. For the stuff for everyone to layer, because there's such a massive appetite. Like people just, you know, they eat it all up.
Yeah.
You know, and it, that's great. You know,
it is.
It's, you know, they played a lot, and they made a lot. So, you know, I'm grateful for that on behalf of the fan base. There's a lot there.
Well, I'll leave you with this. I want to know, you know, just based on what you just asked or what you just responded, I think a lot of people struggle with the idea of picturing Gord in like a punk role. But when you listen to Battle of the Nudes, for example, and you listen to some of that Sadie's stuff, it's in his blood.
No, Gord is a punk rocker. And I think like for a good part of his evolution as a musician, he probably didn't feel like he was. He was like he wasn't legit enough because, I don't know, he didn't have all that punk whatever. But the
Mohawk.
Energy, the energy, the attitude, the ethos, 100% punk rock. And when I think of him as like a high school rocker or that, I mean, at the heart of it, like he's always been that punk rock. And so, you know, that release with the Sadies to me is like one of the most like gratifying or satisfying things to put out, because that's Gord in his happy place, like letting it go, like just letting loose, you know. It doesn't have to worry about being pitch perfect, although he gave up on that ages ago, but he could just do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. Yeah. And you see it in those performances. It's just him at top speed, as he would say, and just letting it go, and the mind is not there. It's all just punk rock.
Is there a band that we would be super surprised to know, or an artist that we would be super surprised to know that Gord was a fan of? Or is that asking you to think for him?
I don't... I think, like, if you knew him well enough, I don't think you'd be surprised at all. He had very diverse taste. I mean, I went to see this band last night at the concert hall that he introduced me to, called The Dirty Three. And they're like, it's just so way up. It's at this instrumental, like, violin, guitar, drums, kind of jazz. It's like nothing I can describe. It's so moving and cool. But like, you know, all those guys are just have the coolest taste. And the collectively, like, yeah, it's, they cover everything. So I don't, you know, he wasn't very discriminating, honestly. You know, if it moved him, like, it was good. You know,
if it genres or any of that crap.
No, not at all. Yeah. Hell no, no. But at the spirit of it all, it's like I said, you know, he's a punk rock guy.
Absolutely. When I heard Battle of the Nudes for the first time, I was like, yeah, I think he's a punk rock guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick, I really want to thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks for the conversation.
For this great conversation. And regaling everybody here with some information and some entertainment. And we will bid you adieu at this point.
Thank you. Thank you, JD.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.
Big round of applause for Patrick. Yeah.
Pick up your shit.
Tired as fuck. The greedy palace has been keeping me up. See now then, can and won't, you will and can. Tired as fuck. It's so hard to wonder. Alone, wherever wind may blow.
Thanks for listening. This has been a presentation of the Tragically Hip podcast series. For more information and to follow us, visit home.tthpods.com. If you'd like to reach JD, send an email to JD@tthpods.com.